Blog Talk Radio.
Thursday to you. I pray that all is well with you. So shalom, my sisters.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom, Sister Rhea. We'll see who else joins in this evening. We're going to be doing the business meeting, and I wanted to go over some things, with the land, with some figures that I'm working with, those types of things. And, I want to be transparent in as much as possible on everything but where the land is located at. I will tell you guys that, up under separate meeting that is, private. not open to the public. But just came back from the doctor and all is well. You know, I'm thanking Yah for it.
Amen.
Everything is, you know, staying on track. And, you know, they're like, it's just kind of weird. Like this shouldn't have happened, but it did. And then, you know, some of the doctors that are specialists, they're like, well, in the worst case scenario, you'll have to stay on blood thinners the rest of your life. I'm like, okay, but, you know, I have to see the cardiologist first before that's decided. But everything else looks good. So I have to wait to see the heart doctor so he can say, no, this was a one-time occurrence, or it is hereditary, or whatever it is. Because I think my sister, one of my sisters suffered the same thing. But they had to go in and put in this defibrillator on the inside of her, next to her heart, so that when it goes to an irregular beat, you know, it shocks her. Homie ain't trying to go that route.
Yeah, I know, because my godmother just got out the hospital from getting a stent put in her heart, and they had to take her back to the hospital today because she's not doing well at all.
Amen. It is, when they went in and did the angiogram on me, and, you know, they went in, they can either go in through your groin or they can go in through your wrist.
Mm.
And they went in through my wrist.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I went to sleep and woke back up. I was like, is it over already? Because it didn't, you know, I didn't even remember falling asleep. But, you know, they only saw one vein that they said was about 20% blocked, and they won't put in a stent unless it's 70% or over.
Well,
so,
I guess she was over.
Yeah, because, you know, from what they told me, they won't even put in a stent if you don't have a, you know, significant blockage.
Oh, okay.
So if she's having, what other kind of problems is she having?
She's losing weight and she's just tired. She don't have no energy to do anything.
Mm. So I wonder if her heart is not pumping right.
I don't know. I think that's what they took her back to the hospital to see.
Okay, amen. They should have found that out before, because they should be able to see, you know, whether she had a regular heartbeat or not. Because I'm finding out that if your heart ain't beating right, you won't breathe right. You know, you if it's not moving blood the way it's supposed to, you can be breathing, but you're not getting no oxygen.
No oxygen, right.
So, they'll have to, you know, look into that. My problem with my heart, they're saying, you know, that it was beating, the top part was beating three times faster than the bottom.
Mm.
So it was like fluttering.
Right.
And it wasn't pumping enough blood into the bottom of the heart to pump it out.
Right.
So the meds are supposed to... We're supposed to straighten that out. And that's the next appointment that I have to go see. Have the cardiologist actually look again to see that that's not the same, you know, I don't have that same issue. And I don't really think that I do, because my heart rate has come down so far.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the top of the heart was beating, like I said, three times faster. And it was showing up, you know, on the blood pressure and, you know, on the pulse.
Right.
Being that high. But now, you know, the pulse is down at like between 60 and 75, and, you know, it fluctuates whether I'm moving or not, or I did something, and the blood pressure is way down. So, you know, even if I exert myself, which, I tested it, and... yeah, you know, I feel like a brand new person. No
praise,
shortness of breath.
Praise.
No nothing.
Praise the
Father. So, you know, we'll see. Yah is good. And
yes, he is.
Greatly to be praised.
Greatly to be praised. You don't make no mistakes.
Amen. And, you know, put it in his hands and leave it in his hands. You know, I told him I would be faithful and do whatever they said to do. Because if there were issues, then it just needed to be taken care of. But I'm believing what he told me, that I'll come out of this stronger than what I went into.
Amen.
So.
Amen.
Yeah, I that's what I'm believing on, and you know I'm walking in that. So, not really. You know, I didn't really want to stress myself at first, but everything is, you know, just, they're like, you know, go ahead and go about your normal routine. So start your exercise program and do all that stuff. But nevertheless, we're going to give everybody about another 2 or 3 minutes. And then
I think
if not, then we will just go ahead and start.
In Madison, Wisconsin.
Huh?
I think Sister Denise is at Madison, Wisconsin. They had the little
okay.
baby's funeral.
Oh, is that today?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I wish I had known, because I would have had them to deliver flowers or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, brother, I know we all got a clock on our back, and I know we all got to get out of here one way or another. And I know how you leave here is how you have to go, but that's just so terrific for me, for that kid. I guess
right.
I mean, how I feel about kids, that's just terrific for me.
Yeah, I mean,
about that.
I can't stand for somebody to abuse a kid, much less
no.
kill one.
No.
You know, and so, you know, that's just the lowest of the low.
That is.
To me, you know, a child beater and a child molester is, to me, worse than, you know, a wife beater. And a wife beater is get no respect from me.
Right.
Because, you know,
right.
It's not a fair fight.
No.
And so, you know, for somebody to take advantage that way.
Right.
But especially for a totally defensive kid, that's just
a kid, yeah.
That's just unthinkable. You know, it's unconscionable that somebody would do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wish I had known. Yeah, I would have had them to deliver something on our behalf. I didn't think it would be this quick, but you know they don't. They don't take that long to bury us either, though.
No. Uh-uh.
Mm. Okay. So we are going to go ahead and start this meeting. And I'm going to make a motion that we bring this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second it.
Okay. All in favor? Well, we got two of us here, three of us, so.
Aye.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
The
aye.
Ayes have it. No sense in asking a question anybody opposed. This meeting is now in session, and we will proceed with our statement of faith and praying in. Okay, and I am on call, so if the pager goes off, then I'll just play a song and acknowledge the page and, you know, come right back, and hopefully there's nothing that draws me away for any length of time. Okay, let me have you ladies to cover your heads. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Somehow I always think I read that wrong. Let me read this other one over again because I always think I read this verse wrong. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Father. Father, we just come before you and give you honor. Hallelujah. To praise you and to worship you, Father, and to serve you. As dedicated children, Father, we adore thee. We adore thee. We adore thee, Father. We love you, Father. We love you because you first loved us. And hallelujah, Father. We just want to thank you for today. Great is thy name. Great is thy name. Great is thy name. Hallelujah. There is none like you, Father. None. No, not one. We will not worship any other. But we give you glory, honor, and praise on this day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. We
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Let us go to Psalms 133. The book of Psalms, chapter 133. We're going to get verses 1 through 3. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Amen and amen. And let us go to Exodus chapter 19. The book of Exodus chapter 19. And we will be getting verses 5 and 6. Exodus 19 verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, this meeting and this session is in order. We are discussing the land, and then we will, if we have time, then we will get into the bylaws so that we can finish these up. I've been looking up stuff and, you know, looking up equipment and trying to come to a round figure for a bottom line on what I was about to spend. right now where we're at, not including the down payment on the land, but if I include the down payment on the land, we're just under 50,000, about 46K. And, you know, it's not a problem. We can handle that. I'm not trying to spend everything, you know, in one shot. But, you know, for the tiller, for farming, for the bobcat, I found a cheap bobcat. These prices may fluctuate, but we're going to need a bobcat, you know, to clear the land, to drag some things that are heavier around. The generator that is like a 40K, 45K generator, 45 megawatt generator, which will do, like I said, about 8 or 9 houses, you know, that if you put everything in the refrigerator and all that stuff, everything in it, it's not the goal to put all those things in each place. But, you know, we'll see. Might allow smaller refrigerators in within the units themselves. But, you know, the main freezer and the main refrigerator or refrigerators will be, you know, belong to the kitchen. And people can, you know, I think we might be able to do a small refrigerator in each of the living spaces for, you know, things that people want to snack on, that kind of stuff. Remains to be seen. You know, I had a brother ask me, could he bring his king-size bed and his 50-inch TV? I said, brother, you think you come in to live in paradise? It's not the purpose for this. If you have a king-size bed, everybody will want a king-size bed. And if you have a 50-inch TV, everybody will want a 50-inch TV. And, you know, we won't be able to run all that for everybody. We'll see, because some of this stuff, you know, I'm going off of plans that and capabilities that that I, you know, I think that we will need as a minimum. As I said, this generator should be able to handle it, but, you know, again, we're trying to set up so that we can survive. You might not have all the creature comforts. Again, we will see. And some of this I will have to play by ear. If the system is efficient and, you know, able to you know, like I said, the generator can do it, but when it comes to the necessities, then, you know, I don't want to get to the place where we got to tell people, well, you can, they got TVs, but you can't use them but between this hour and this hour. So it is one of those things. Until we mature, you know, as a community, and we know how the power grid is going to work, and we know, you know, those things that you only know by actually doing it. You can plan for certain things, but then there's nothing like actually doing it. So I understand the math and the capabilities of these things, yet and still, all systems are not equal. You know what the system says that it will do. I usually will count on, I know that professionally, for commercial purposes, what they usually rate something at is about 80%. That's what they were advertised at. It will actually do more than that, about 20% more. But for, you know, if you get something and they rate it for 10 years, but you run it at 100% all the time, it's not going to last 10 years because it's not rated to run at 100% all the time for 10 years. So it's rated to, you know, run about 80%. And that 80% will be what they consider the 100%. Even though it's capable of doing probably 20% more. That's so that, you know, they can say, yeah, if you run it at 80%, it'll last 10 years. But if you run it at 100%, then it's like anything. You run it, you know, on full blast all the time. It's not going to last as long as it would if you didn't run it, you know, at full blast. So I don't want to get to the place where we are stressing the system, and we got to run it at 100%, you know, to meet everybody's needs, because we allowed everybody to bring every electronic device that they could think of that they wanted to, you know, to have. So just thinking about those things. The propane, that we're going to have two tanks put in, and I'm thinking if I know what the price is to put them in, and it's not that expensive for both of them, you know, we can get probably, you know, $1,000 to have them installed. I'm just thinking to put them in separate locations, still have them connected. I would probably have to run the line to do that, so that, you know, they're not all in one place. But then, you know, it may be easier to protect in the future if they're, everything is, you know, right there together. That's a tactical decision that needs to be decided. And it may be easier to tap into it should we, you know, put up more housing on a different lot. Right now we're going to be on one. But it might be, you know, if we go ahead and put this in and just run the line over to the next property so that when one tank runs out, it's going to be running the generator. That's what it's for. You know, it will just click over to the other tank. The solar system. So, you know, I'm looking at like $15,000 for the generator. And then the solar system itself, solar, is about, from what I saw, I'm looking probably $2,100, which is not, you know, it's not a whole lot of money considering solar. But trying to buy in bulk and get it at a, you know, a cheaper price. And then a welder, because as we bring in the containers, then you know, I have to have a cutter and I have to have a welder so that they can be the containers can be, you know, the windows and the doors can be cut out, and, you know, the frames put in and that kind of stuff. So, and I don't have a welder here. The things that I already have, you know, we already have them. I'm not going to rebuy. But I don't have a welder, and I, you know, always intended to get one because I wanted to. I have two windmills, and I don't really, you know, if I don't have to, the goal is to run them by an electric motor. And the reason why I want to run them by an electric motor is the windmills don't have to spin as fast as a generator does to generate the electricity. So I had bought these a year or two ago, coming up on about 18 months, well, coming up on 2 years. I bought these and I was going to, you know, just play around with them, with the technology, have the motor. And so since we are going with the generator, then I will plug these windmills into and run them from run the electric motor from the generator. These two windmills will then also be producing electricity along with the solar, because I don't want to depend, you know, 100% on any technology. I want it to be where we always have power. So if something fails, you know, we're not just down. It's got to be fixed right then. There's nothing like an emergency. You know, Brother Miles, we ain't got no power. Refrigerator's off, everything like that. Yeah, we want to have backups. So, as I said, the windmills and stuff I already have, and I know that they will run the refrigerators and that kind of stuff. They put out about, I think these were rated at 3,000 kilowatts a piece. So it's about together 6,000 kilowatts, but also have them, you know, charging batteries. so that when something does go down, everything just switches over to battery. So the welder, I bought a microscope. What would I need a microscope for? One of the things that I'm finding out about farming, and, you know, we put in a, I and my son, I built a small greenhouse in the backyard 2 years ago in preparation for this so that we could grow some plants, you know, grow some vegetables and see, you know, how it's done, you know, the germination. You know, we grew everything from seed. We didn't buy anything that was already sprouted. We grew everything from the seed. And then, you know, wanted to see just how things did. Definitely do not want to be growing, well, at least not here in the valley, during the summer. So the summer months, this heat here is just a killer in the valley. I mean, it dries stuff up like you can't water it enough. And you miss watering a day, it will dry up. That's how horrible the heat is in the summer. But up north, it doesn't get that way. And so what we were trying to do during the summer months will probably be more successful up north of here than down here in the valley, because this heat here is just, like I said, it's atrocious. You can't really be out in it. Like if I go out in the heat here in the summer to do anything in the yard, I'm going to be out there an hour at the max. And then I'm done for the day, literally, because it just zaps all your energy. Just takes it out. Now, when I was younger, when I first got here, you know, I could go out and mow the lawn, but I would always not do it in the heat of the day. I would do it, you know, late evening or early morning. But I could still have, you know, I still have more of a tolerance to the heat. But the older I've gotten, this heat ain't a joke. So the problems that we had in the summer, and we were trying to grow some things that we shouldn't have been growing in the summer, we still did it anyway. You know, I put the water on a timer, watered it, you know, three times a day, never during the heat of the day, you know, early morning, late at night, right after the sun went down. And we got things to grow. We didn't get the yield we were looking for. And I was wondering, you know, trying to study and find out why that was. So I started looking at, you know, these farmers on YouTube and these people who farm on an acre of land, and these microbiologists, you know, talking about the soil. And I believe I have a very good understanding of what needs to be done and what will make whatever grow. Because what they're saying is that the mistakes that the farmers even were making, what they have learned is that you don't add fertilizer or any of that stuff to the soil. Everything that needs to be in your soil is already there. The problem is that the soil, you know, the minerals and stuff are there, but the soil can't be dead. And what do they mean by that? You got all these microbes, these bacteria, this fungi, these little critters, nematodes and those types of things that live in the dirt. And if they're not there, what the plant does, the plant makes sugar, and it makes different types of sugars. So when they, you know, talk about what a plant actually does, the way it works is it makes carbohydrates, it makes sugars, and it makes protein. And when you mix all that stuff together, it's the same stuff that you put together for a cake or cookies. So this is what the plant makes from its roots. And it, you know, depending upon what it needs, it makes different types of sugars to attract different types of bugs. And these bugs are what, when they eat the sugar, what they secrete is what the plant needs. Does that make sense? Am I talking way over y'all heads?
I'm on mute. Yes, it does. It makes a that, I was on mute.
Yes, I'm listening to. I'm on mute listening to you. It's a lot of noise in my background.
All right, amen. So I'm understanding that you can introduce, you know, these bugs and everything into the soil. And the way that you do it, some of them go to sleep. If, you know, if the nutrients aren't there for them, some of them die out, some of them go to sleep, and when the right conditions exist, they wake back up. And so they were saying that, you know, the pesticides, when you're trying to kill off one pest, you're killing off more good stuff than just to get rid of that one pest. And so you're killing the soil. So as I've been studying this and, you know, learning about it, I'm understanding that in order to really know what your soil is doing, you know, you can send it off to be tested, or you can just take, you know, a little bit of soil and put it in a tube, mix it with, you know, some water that is not chlorinated. But, you know, you can leave a bucket of water out for 24 hours and the chlorine in it goes away. And so you mix it with some of that water, and then you look at, you know, a drop of it up under the microscope. And that'll tell you, you know, what's in your soil. If it's dead, if it's, you know, if it's infested with something, you'll see it in there. So I've been I was going to endeavor over the next few weeks. The microscope came in and the slides, and I'm just waiting for the little plastic tubes to come in. So I, you know, I'm actually practice on the greenhouse that we put in, like I said, last year or about, last year, early in the year. And I'm going to see if I can see what's in the soil currently. And see, you know, to see if it's got what it's supposed to have in it. If it's alive, if it's dead, because, you know, the nurseries and everybody are saying, hey, if you want good soil, you gotta do this mixture. But they're actually saying that's not the way you do it. So I want to see, you know, what the pH level of the soil is, see if I can see any of these critters, because they're microscopic, in the dirt, see if I see them there. If I can identify some of them, and then the next time that I go up to the land, I'm going to take, you know, I'm going to get some of the dirt from a few places on the land and bring it back and do the same thing, just so I can see what's there right now, to learn this, because, you know, farming and growing food is a science. Unless you understand and got a green thumb, I don't really have just a green thumb. So I'm going to go that route. You know, for people who know how to garden and that kind of stuff, that's good. And you know, I will surely have an open mind and listen. But then I'm also going to be kind of relying on the science as well, because I want to remove as little chance as possible, you know, that we don't get a crop when we need one. So I'm learning that the soil has to be alive. And they say if the soil is alive, you know, with those animals, the bacteria and the fungi and everything that's in there, each one feeding on each other, then the soil is healthy and the plants will just grow, because they'll send out whatever they need. They'll send out the signal, whatever sugar they need for whatever animal or whatever species of bug or whatever it is, that will provide that to it. You don't have to add anything to it. The plant will tell the critters in the ground what it needs. And so it'll do that by the types of sugars that it puts out. And they will come and give it what it needs. they will eat the sugars, and then they will crap out. You know, the plant eats off of their crap. I'll just put it that way. But it's in a form, you know, it's in a form that the plant can consume it. So I found it amazing, you know, really interesting, and just fascinating to know that this is what's going on. And so, you know, to have a real barometer of what the health of the land is. And so when we are starting to plant, then, you know, we should be able to have a good expectation of what's going on. And, you know, we can do it, like I said, scientifically, chemically, and also count on the Most High that He's going to, you know, send the necessary rain or not send too much rain. Matter of fact, from what I'm reading, if we do it correctly, the way that it will work, the plants themselves will retain the water in the ground. And so you don't have to water as much when everything is healthy, because the roots will, you know, those plants that require water, that's the way that they work. They will retain water in the ground so that they have it to themselves. But weeds, how they're different is the weed is only worried about seeding. So it will grow shallow roots, shoot up, and then, you know, seed and spread seeds and then die. That's how it works. It doesn't worry about if there's going to be water left. But the plants actually do conserve water. So, you know, they're saying, hey, if it's done correctly and the ground is healthy, then you actually can reduce your water even by 70% if you do it right. So just trying to learn these things and implement them from the start so that we're not just shooting blindly into the dark, but, you know, there's a method to our madness. But, yeah, so, you know, like I said, I bought the microscope so that I could play around and start it here, test here, look, and so I know what I'm, you know, looking for compared to things, slides and stuff on the internet and what have you, to pictures. You know, this type of protozoa or this type of nematode. This one is a good one. This is why it's good. This one is a bad one. That type of stuff. So, you know, it is once we get the ground healthy, then, you know, once a year we would have to test it to make sure, you know, nothing is going off track, and, you know, adjust accordingly. But I just want to make sure that we have the greatest possibility of being successful. Then I found a machine online that one of the hardest things that even in the garden that we did, it wasn't, you know, we only had like 30 feet long by 10 feet wide, and I had like 6 beds in it that I put up, was the actual planting of the plants. You know, and this is not that big, but, you know, I could imagine if it was 100 feet long. And then, you know, you're stooping down and, you know, digging a little hole, putting a plant in it, covering it up, repeating that over and over and over again. But they have a machine that will actually let you do, you know, it's a manual machine, but it'll let you do like 100 plants in like 15 minutes. Huh. So, you know, you just, you till your ground, you soften it up, and then you load these plants into this machine, and then you walk, you know, backwards, just drag it. It will open up the ground. It will put the plant in, and then it will actually cover, you know, actually close the dirt back up on it. So I said, okay, this is a must. The trays that they have is not cheap, but I think for the amount of labor that it saves, that it will save, I'm making it unnecessary. That way, whatever we're planting, we don't have to spend a whole lot of time just actually putting it in the ground. We can use this and, you know, seed the ground rather quickly. And then it's just a matter of, you know, taking care of it and watering when we need to, making sure that, you know, everything is going correctly. So I saw one of those and I was like, yeah, I want one of those. It's okay, you know, it's all right when it's a small garden, but if somebody has invented something that's better, yeah, let's go with that route. Because, you know, I imagine that, and again, I have to lay it out. I got to get the dimensions, but I'm thinking we will have about between 9 and 12 beds in an acre, you know, for different things that we are growing. And, you know, so we would want to just figure out what type of vegetables we want in their season and then, you know, grow them. But I also want a section for plants that are just medicinal, that are used for that, natural healing plants. So, you know, that is the plan and that is the goal. And then, you know, the fencing to go around an acre of land. And the fencing to go around that would cost roughly, I think I found it online, electrified, because it would need to be electrified to keep out the small critters and the big ones, so that if they hit it, you know, they ain't going to stay there. That right there, to cover an acre, about $3,000 with everything that you need, the wiring and the post and the mechanism that actually electrifies the fence. And, you know, and everybody would have to know it because 3,000 volts, if it hits you, you know it, but I don't think the amps are enough to kill somebody. But, I, you know, I have to make sure of that, and then if it is, then I have to put up the signs, hey, fence is electrified, so don't be coming and grabbing it. Because it's to keep out cows or deer or rabbits or anything that, you know, would eat the food. So that's what I've been looking at. The welder, as I said, to as we add more containers, as we are, you know, strengthening the containers, the framing on them, all that will have to be welded. And I want to weld them to the foundation. So, you know, we'll put up pylons that are, you know, pillars that are in the ground, and then we will have the containers sit on those. And then, you know, a steel plate put at the top of each of the pillars while it's still wet, so that it's cemented into the pylon on the top, and then the container will sit on top of that, and we will weld the container to that so that they won't go anywhere. And we'll do that with each one. So the welder will be necessary, and then when we want to connect, you know, containers, then they will be welded together. Common hallway, but the container itself, you know, will be the living quarters with the bedroom and the living room and the bathroom, you know, for each section. Just have to look at, like I said, the original intent is to look at putting in a system that will support or have the capability to support 16 people from the beginning, from the start. And then from there, as, you know, we grow, then we just have to add. And add in the septic system and those types of things to support it. But that is what I've been on. We will be closing the 2nd of November next week on the land. And then, you know, then from that point, you know, anytime I want to go on the land, you know, there's a chain over the entrance to the land. So we get a copy of that key. And any time that we want to be there in that area, we would have to go through there. And then I can put up, you know, a separate entrance and somewhere else. We will need one for, you know, vehicles to come on and that kind of stuff. So this is where we're at. And like I say, with the land, the down payment, and this equipment so far, we're right at about $46,000. And, you know, that is to get us started. And, you know, I have that covered without a problem. I was looking at this water machine. I mean, I'm going to have to do something else. I really do want to get it. But I don't want to spend $70,000, and because then that will... It won't break me, but it'll put me close to broke, and I don't want to be close to broke. We want to be able to, you know, we still need a reserve, and still need to make payments on everything else. So this stuff will be paid for in cash, but, you know, there's still things that will need to be paid on. So I don't want to put myself in a position where, you know, I'm worried about money. Don't want to do that. And then as everybody, like I said, as you guys come, as you participate, then it takes more load off of me. And we're able to, you know, continue to grow. But, you know, I'm doing what the Most High has told me to do. And so this is where we're at. Any questions?
Let me see. Am I on mute?
No, you're not on mute.
No,
I don't really have any questions, but I'm fascinated about the farming part because I've been reading up on farming as well.
Amen.
It's just interesting. And I wish I could watch
this live.
If
you look at
the... I love looking up under the microscope.
Yeah, microbiology and healthy soil.
I love it.
I mean, I can get into that stuff. So, and for me, I like to know what's going on.
Right.
And if it's a problem, then I like to know kind of, you know, I'm not trying to be the expert, but I need to have a working knowledge so I can look at the soil and say, oh, this is good soil, and know it with some certainty, or this soil
right.
is not good type of deal. And I don't ever like to do anything unprepared. And so, like I said, as I've been doing this research, you know, and looking at the science behind it, we should be able to, you know, really, if we wanted to, we should be able to grow enough to feed more than enough people. But we should also be able to grow enough that if we wanted and needed to sell some, we could.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and make good money doing it. I'm talking about more than $100,000 a year. Just sell it. So I've looked I've looked at those types of farms with like microgreens or, you know, even strawberries and things like that. The strawberries you can grow hydroponically. If we get the machine that will do the water, then it's almost that's almost a done deal. Because the only thing you got to do is, you know, get the containers that you're going to keep the water in and grow the strawberries right on top of the water. And that's a, you know, a different technology, but it is there. And then, you know, it's a matter of being able to get them to market. We first want to make sure that we're sustainable and that we have everything we need. If that makes sense.
Yes, that makes sense.
I also learned that you don't plant your plants like a foot apart. Like that's what, you know, a lot of the seed packs were saying, that kind of stuff. But the people who are actually doing this and even looking at, you know, a lot of these videos on the healthy soil, you really want to saturate the ground with seeds.
Right.
And just let it just grow in. And you will, you know, the ground will handle it. The seeds, you know, they will tell the ground what they need. And it's not, you know, if you look at a forest or a, you know, a wooded area, you always got a lot of, you know, especially after a fire, you got a lot of green shrubs and stuff that grow in. And
right.
You never, you know, you don't see them starving for food because the ground is healthy. And they're not competing with one another. Even though, you know, they're crowded. So, you know, I learned that because, we planted and we planted and we, you know, read the seed pack and said, oh, you plant these this far apart. But then when I go online and look at these guys that are actually doing, they're like, uh-uh. You saturate the ground and you let them just grow in. And you will get a lot of output. I was like, okay. So, you know, it's just a matter of teaching ourselves. And, you know, I really would love to have some young people to actually train them, you know, in the biology of it. So that, you know, they would have real knowledge about it and be able to do it. And then I can say, you know, all right. These lots over here are for us. These lots over here are for what we're going to take to market. And y'all in charge of those. That type of stuff. But, you know, everything in time. I want to make sure that what we learn is documented so that somebody doesn't have to learn, you know, from scratch. This is what we're doing here. This is, you know, how you do it. This is what you look for. As we learn, you know, if we have different type of problems or things, you know, problems that we solve, this is what happened. This is how we solved it. So if it happens again, you know, they don't have to learn from scratch. And, you know, and typically, you can't cover everything, but, you know, one of the things that we have a problem with is passing knowledge from one generation to another.
Amen.
It's like we got to relearn all over again. And I just never understood that. I try to tell my kids, I know I learned more from the previous generation because I would listen to them. And why should I have to make the same mistakes they made? If they learned that such and such and such and such, and they could explain it well enough, then I'm like, well, I'll remember that. I don't have to make that same mistake. And that's typically how I have learned things, you know, self-taught or, you know, I've been to college, but mostly self-taught for those things that matter. And so, I really do want the next generation to be there so that they can learn as we go, and they can, you know, they can do look up under the microscope and see the stuff and understand how it works together, so that they know how to live sustainably. not going to hurt the land, not going to, you know, kill the soil. Because this is what we've been doing in this country. And they're finally coming, you know, they're finally coming to understand that they've been doing stuff backwards. And it just makes a whole lot of sense. You poison the ground, you know, you're going to kill whatever's there. Not just the one thing you're trying to kill, but even the good stuff. And so, you know, it's a lot of the insecticide companies were saying, hey, this will only kill this certain type of bug, but they were lying. There's so much stuff in the dirt that they didn't ever, so much stuff in the dirt that is needed there that they were killing, excuse me, that they were killing off. So we don't want to do that. So I'm trying to learn the right way from the beginning, learn what, you know, from their mistakes and not repeat the same mistakes they've made. So that is where we are at. And just a second. Let me text my wife. Okay. So I still have to find a good place that's going to be, you know, workable, not overly expensive, for the shipping containers themselves. There are some places about 40 or 50 miles away that I saw on the drive up that I, you know, said I would inquire, see what their prices are, because, you know, delivery from there would be cheaper than trying to get it from the West Coast. The ports, because even the way those containers work and the quality of them is based upon, if you get a one-time use container, that means it came from China, it was only used once, but they still consider it brand new. And so they charge, you know, a lot more for those. But then if it's been used, you know, a lot, it might have a certain amount of damage on it. The older they are, the cheaper they are. And the more damaged they are, the cheaper they are. But you don't want something so damaged that you can't use it. You can't repair it. Because, you know, they repair those containers themselves as well. You know, but if you're going to hack it up, depends upon where it's damaged. If it's bent or crushed, you know, then you're not going to ever get that out. You don't want that. If they shipped dangerous chemicals in it, you don't really want that either, because it's going to be in the wood in the floor. You'd have to take the whole floor up and then, try to wash or sandblast it all out. And you still don't know if you're still going to have some of that toxic stuff in there. So it's just best if you think something was, something in it was dangerous, that, you know, you just don't buy that. Or if the doors are bent. If you're not going to use the doors, then that's not a problem. But if you're going to use the doors, and seal it off, you know, from that end, then you want the doors to be working. So, you know, just different things in everything. There's plus and minuses and pitfalls. So even, you know, looking into all of that and saying, okay, they have a container yard here in the valley. I was just going to go and do a walk around and, you know, look at the different containers that they had and that they have, and what the pricing is on it and how they're actually grading it, because you can read it online, but again, there's nothing like actually doing it. And then being able to ask questions, relevant questions at the time. Because there's things that they may not cover, you know, in a video or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, I have plans to, you know, take off one day and just go out there and say, okay, let me see your 20-foot containers. Let me see your 40-foot. You know, and what's the difference between this one and this one? And why is the price different on this one versus this one? As they have said, you know, online, there's different conditions that you look for. You know, but I also want to see what people will tell me, how much truth they will tell me, whether I know if I want to do business with them. Because, you know, if they think that I'm a dummy so they can take advantage of me, I want to see if they really have that in them. Because, you know, if, never reveal everything you know. And then you see, you know, you'll see just how honest people are or dishonest. So, you know, I'll do some homework and then I'll go and act like, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing. And then just see. Because, you know, if I can't trust them, then I don't want to do business with them.
I know that's right.
That's just, you know, that's just the way it is. Can't trust you, don't want to do business with you. If I think that, you know, if you're volunteering and you're volunteering good information and I know that it's good information, then I will, you know, put a plus sign by your name and say, okay, they are actually trying to be informative and honest. And so we probably want to do business with them. And even if they were a little bit more expensive, the fact that I'm knowing what I'm getting, you know, I'll be willing to pay for that to a degree. If they're way too expensive, I'll be like, well, you know, your price is expensive, they're not black. Because I know for us, everything always costs us more.
Absolutely.
It just does. You know, they're not going to give it to us the same price they would even give it to their own people. So I know that we will pay more, but I don't want to pay that much more. Or, you know, they just feel like they can just price gouge you because you don't know any better or you're black. And, you know, they're racist or whatever. So, you know, look at all those things, but I would really like to find someplace closer to where it's actually going to be delivered, so you know you don't have to pay the you know a huge transportation cost to get it up there.
I know shipping and handling.
Right, you know you're going to pay some of that because I can't move it myself. They're way too heavy to move yourself.
If it's not so far, I don't guess it'd be that much, would it?
Right. So you don't, you know, you're not paying for a whole bunch of miles.
Right.
That's what I'm looking to cut down on. I know that, you know, there's going to be a transport fee. There's just no way around it. And I don't plan on buying any type of long trailer like that, you know, that would be able to handle it. It's just not what I'm looking to do. So, you know, I'd be willing to pay for somebody to, you know, a transport company to deliver it. And if I could find a place that says, hey, if you buy it from us, we'll deliver for free, that would be even better.
It would be.
So I doubt if I find that, but that would be ideal.
Yeah, you can always hope.
Right. Always. You know, and I'm hoping that I can establish a relationship and say, hey, well, you know, I plan to buy this many. Can I develop, you know, a business relationship with you and get a discount? Because, you know, I'll commit to buying them only from you, you know, if you give me a discount, you know, make it reasonable. Because that's what, you know, typically how business relationships are made. But we'll see. Until I actually start doing it, you know, and actually going out and shopping it and talking
right.
to people, it's all speculation at this point. And, you know, internet shopping is good, but you don't never really know what the actual market is like until you get in it.
That's right.
So, you know, this is, like I said, this is planning. These numbers can fluctuate up or down. I'm always try to get it under budget because I do have a budget and try to pay less than more if I can get, you know, the same quality. But then
right.
I understand, too, that may not always work out. And so as long as I'm close, as long as I'm close to what I plan for, then there's a fudge factor in there. There's a fudge factor, but I'm gonna try to get it for as close to budget as possible. I think my grandson is trying to give me his cold. I have to put a stop to this before it really starts. Anyway, that is what we're on. And like I said, I really, you know, I can't slow down at this point. Because, it, you know, we really need to be moving. Don't know when the Most High will say, you know, what's coming and what's not. Sharon.
Huh?
Amen.
You got food or what?
Yeah.
Can I have it? I can talk with my mouth full. They can't tell.
Yes, we can.
I know you can. this is where we are at. This is the planet, you know, the thought. What I want to know is, what do you guys think about the community kitchen? What in your mind? What did you see as far as living quarters? What was in your mind? That's what I want to know.
Okay, how many people going to be in a living quarter?
Probably two. At you know, if they're both single.
Uh-huh.
If it's a family, then, you know, that has to be thought out.
Right.
And it has, you know, husband and wife, how many kids they have, the rather than having, let's say, a double bed, maybe there's, if they got two kids, then it's two bunk beds. If they are the same gender, if they are different genders, then maybe just, you know, two smaller type bedrooms. So
uh-huh.
you know the layout of the layout of the apartment would have to be different, but you know as much cookie cutter as we can get away with. That's what we want to do.
Uh-huh.
But then you know one size does not fit all. So then it's a matter of, you know, if a family comes and they have two kids or three kids, then it would, you know, we would have to adjust. And I don't have a problem doing that. It is just, you know, they would have to understand that they might have to wait, they might have to start like this, and then we would have to move some walls, reconfigure. And even may have to if they were a big enough family, then may have to add another container to give them the space, you know, where we don't want anybody, unless it's wartime or whatever, we don't want people on top of each other. But we also don't want to, you know, say, hey, you're coming down to a condo either. A townhouse. You know what? Can I have soup now rather than this?
Really?
Yeah, because this is going to be loud and I'll eat this later. I just take the soup right now. Thank you. Yeah, so that is what we're, you know, it would have to be adjusted. And, you know, it's being able to plan for it. So we would, you know, since we would be vetting people, not just saying everybody can just come, they would have to be vetted. They would have to be committed. Then we could plan for, okay, we have to add this. And they would probably be bringing something to the table as well. So it wouldn't just be totally out of, you know, everybody else's pocket would be the goal. And does that make sense?
It absolutely does.
And what about with you, Sister Rhea? Because you're awful quiet over there.
Can you hear me? Yes, it makes. Yeah, I was on mute. Yes, it makes a lot of sense. I'm excited. Like I said, I'll just be contributing until I get there, Lord willing.
All right, amen. So that's, you know, like I said, if it's single people, you know, females, then it would be two females to a container. They'd have a shared kitchen area, small kitchen area, living room. I would think they would probably have a shared bathroom as well, in separate bedrooms. And they would have to learn how to live together. That ain't always easy either. But I think that it would be relatively easy to do that way, with, you know, the common areas in the middle and the bedrooms on the ends. That way you have some separation. At least that's how I see it in my mind right now. But everything is subject to change.
Well, at least you got a plan.
Well, if we don't have a plan, we're in trouble.
Right.
No, and I understand, you know, nothing is in what? Stone, written in stone. And that's what a lot of people have to understand, too. You make a plan so that... So that you can have a guideline, but the plan needs to be dynamic as well. It needs to be living, you know, so needs to be able to change where you need to change, you know, adjust where you need to adjust. But, yeah, without a plan, we would be in trouble. We wouldn't even have a place to start. We'd just be, you know, running around like a chicken with our head cut off.
Well, at least with a plan, you could always alter it.
Right, that's why I said we can adjust. And, you know, this is what we intended to do, but here's a reality that we didn't, you know, you try to think of everything, but you don't always think of everything. And, you know, situations can change, and what have you. So the plan is just that, a plan, and, you know, we try to stick to it as much as makes sense, and then where it doesn't make sense, where we have to adjust, we adjust. And you know, that's just life. The problem is people fail to plan. That's where the real problem is. Like is that they have a what saying? If you fail to plan for your money will plan for itself. And we'll find a way to go wherever it needs to go or wants to go, and it may not be where you want it to go. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in that, and I don't want to work hard for the man and don't give the Most High my all.
Oh, that's right.
And where it concerns his people, you know, I got to give my all as well. I don't want to halfway do anything. Because I take it as a personal responsibility. Can't ask people to come out like that and then they get there and you know how we are. It ain't nothing the way you said it was. It ain't even close. And Negroes don't have their stuff together. I just don't want to be that way. Because I've seen some operations like that, where people just fail to do what they're supposed to do. So we are endeavoring not to go down that road. Looking at doing this also with inheritance in mind. Thank you. Yeah, with inheritance in mind. So continue to pray for us.
Always,
continue
brother,
to,
always.
You know, ask the Most High to give us favor. Because we got some work ahead of us.
Man.
But we'll get it done. All right. That's all I have on the land at this point. We are 22, or it's already almost 6:30 or 8:30 where you're at. The time has flown by.
It's 8:22, yeah.
Let's see. Now, I have a question for y'all. What's up with these men?
I don't know.
I don't know, because I see today even I'm at my friend's house, and that's why I'm on mute too, but it was from the Holy Spirit. She was watching one of those talk shows, and it was about men abusing their girlfriends and their wives, and the women sounded like me on there. They were like, why are you with this man? And he did all this. And they're like, because I love him. And it just sounded so sickening. It just was it was sad. I know how the women feel, but it just sounded really, really sad. And it's women, too. It's mental illness is really real. It's sad. And it's stemming from what I found out. I even found out more stuff about this person, and now it's starting to make more sense. So you always look at a person's family. You look at how they treat them, how their mother and father treat them, and how they treat their mother and father, and how the family
right.
interacts with one another. Then you get an idea of how they are as a person, their character. I'm blown back to stuff I'm just, like, finding out. It's just, like, whoa. And now, like, nowadays, people better get credit reports on people and do background checks, you know, because it's getting that serious. If you want to be involved with someone, you better go visit their family, see their background, do a credit report, do a credit check, you know, make sure they don't have no felonies and all that kind of stuff, because it's getting real out here. And people, it seems like to me, they're getting sicker and sicker.
Yeah, it is. Well, unfortunately, those things are prevalent amongst our people. Okay? Whether they're, you know, both men and women, whether they got a criminal background, whether they are responsible, you know, how their parents were. That's why you shouldn't just up and just marry just who? Anybody.
Anybody.
You shouldn't just up and get into a relationship with anybody and you have not done your due diligence. Right. Even with their family. Because, you know, in the scriptures, you married into the family. But, you know, if you don't have a relationship with the mother and the father, they don't like you. They have a, you know, a certain opinion about you. They didn't want their son to marry you, or they didn't want your son to marry their daughter. All that stuff weighs in. And if the father was abusive, if the mother was abusive, if the mother was depressed all the time and, you know, didn't have time to take care of them, all kind of things that you have to know. And so, you know, unfortunately for us, it's just very prevalent throughout our people. Like I said, my father was an alcoholic. He used to beat up my mother until I turned, you know, a teenager, then sort of put a stop to that. But it hurt me to even have to go there with him with that. And then, you know, I could have very easily been an abuser of women. But because I didn't want to be like my father, then I made it a point that I wouldn't do that. But it would have been very easy to go that route because that's what I saw. And so, yeah, you have to check it all. And then you have to know that person. You have to really see, you know, they could have came out of the best environment and you still don't know. Because they got mistreated somewhere. They were in a relationship and we just jump in and out of relationships like they're nothing. With this woman this week, a different woman or man next week. Like it's nothing. And, you know, carrying around all this baggage. This person mistreated me, so now I'm mad at everybody. I'm mad at women with red hair. I'm mad at all women, or I'll never get, you know, treated like that again. No forgiveness, anything, you just don't know. And so you're right. And if you don't have discernment, if you don't know how to talk to people and, you know, listen for the silent clues, what they don't say. Now you ask a question and the way they answer the question should tell you a lot about them. If you know the right question to ask. So, and then you have those that are, they are learned in those ways, but they're still psychotic. And you call them narcissists. So they know what to say. They know how to show up. But then when push comes to shove, when they are back to being themselves, then that's when you see who and what they really are. And it's always a misrepresentation. So, yeah, it is. I have run background checks on people. And so I know that, you know, people be having hidden paths. And I'm not trying to live in their paths. Because, you know, people can change. But if they're still talking that way, if they're still talking stupid, and this stuff is in their past, and I already know you haven't grown up, haven't changed, and that's unfortunate. But you are right; it's very real. But anybody can change, So the only thing I can do is thank the Most High that he didn't allow me to go through a lot of what our people have gone through. Because, you know, when I turn around and you get 10 brothers together, the chances are that 50% of them got a felony is real. And that's not good. Because, you know, it can affect the things that they're able to do and not do. A lot of brothers are looking, trying to become sovereign because they got felonies. And they have no rights in this country. And so they're trying to achieve, you know, what they gave up. Whether the system did them wrong or they were born into a system that, you know, they just had no hope. And they were just doing what everybody else was doing. But then you would hope people would grow up and, you know, I think that I really do believe that if a person is a certain way and they have a chance to change and they don't change because it's really in them. Because, you know, none of us grew up perfect.
Right.
None of us grew up knowing everything. But as you learn to do better, you ought to what?
Do better.
And if you don't, then that means that that thing is really in you. It is a part of you. That's what life has taught me, at least. So I don't, you know, if a person can be quote unquote saved, if they are willing to, you know, look at themselves and change, then, you know, when they see that they're doing something they're not supposed to, or have a behavior that is not desirable, you know, they don't try to make excuses for it. At some point, whether you're younger or older, you know, and different people can come to this position earlier or later in their lives. But I'm just a firm believer, if you are stuck in a place and you know that your behavior, is not desirable, it's not doing you any good, and you don't change it, and you're happy where you're at. And that's what you want to be. And there are some people that you know, that's what they want to be. That's what they espouse themselves to. That's what they, when they were younger, whatever happened to them, they made this conscious decision in their mind that this is the way I'm going to be. This is how I'm going to protect myself. So if it's, I'm never going to let anybody take advantage of me, so they try to take advantage of everybody else. So that they don't get taken advantage of. Met people like that. And that was, you know, their motto. And I'm like, well, as long as you carry that around, not able to actually show natural affection or to really love someone. I said, as long as you hold on to that stuff, then you never can have what it is that you really want. If you're not able to give real love, how do you expect to receive it?
Man.
It's always a facade because, you know, you're pretending. And then when it gets real, they found out you were pretending. And you might have had a change of heart, and, you know, you really feel serious about this person, but you've done things and said things that they figure out, hey, you wasn't real. So, I mean, that is just how I look at things. It's kept me safe so far. I'm still here. I don't think that I'm overly damaged. I don't even think that I've been through a lot of emotional turmoil that way. I mean, my first marriage was a lot of turmoil. But I learned from that. Learn from that, not to, you know, make those same mistakes. Make sure I know who I'm marrying in as much as I can. And, you know, Let me ask you guys a question, relationship-wise. When a man and a woman first meet, do you think that they are being real with each other?
Nope.
So if they're not being real with each other.
Nope. I don't.
Okay. So if they're not being real with each other.
Nope.
Then at some point, let's say that they never become real with each other. They like each other, but they have pretended to be something or someone that they're not.
Absolutely.
So you say these are the things that make me happy, and then they try to become that.
Right.
And I say try to become because it's not really them.
Right.
At some point, they're going to start to be themselves again.
At some point.
And that's where you're going to say, I don't know you. Right. Who is it? I don't know you. I thought I knew you. That is the problem with all of, I'm going to say 90% of all the relationships in this country, because that's how they start.
Yeah.
And by the time that you really want to be real, it depends upon what you've said and done as to how real you can be. Some people got some past they shouldn't share with nobody, ever. We want to, but you don't never know how it's going to change that person's thought of you. They might say it's okay, but then really it's not okay. And it's in the past, so, you know, they need to see how you are now because have you grown.
Right.
But, you know, you can do some wild things when you're young and then find out, you know, well, I probably should have never did that. Or I'm ashamed that I ever did that. But I did it. But I probably shouldn't tell you. And so a lot of times people come into relationships and, you know, they're trying to share their past and let's be close and then turn around and because a person had put you up on a pedestal, saw you in a certain light, and then they learn this about you, sometimes no matter what they say, they can't forget it. And it becomes an issue. And you know it becomes an issue when it first comes up. It's an issue. Or they try to use it against you.
Brother Miles,
so
you know what
tell.
I found out yesterday?
What was that?
You know what I found out yesterday? I've been lied on so bad, and I found out a whole bunch of rumors were sent out about me, and it was just ridiculous. And I at first I just laughed it off, but last night in the middle of the night I cried because I was like, Father God, are you serious? This person, these two people spreaded these kind of lies about me. And some people actually believe it because they want to believe the worst in me. They want to believe that I've done those things, and that's the type of person I am. And I said, you know, may the Father judge them for that, for spreading lies about me. You know, I'm not perfect, but that was just ridiculous what I heard last night. That really hurt me to the core. You know, it's just, I just can't believe people.
Number one, bad news always travels faster than what?
Good news.
Good news.
Good news.
And people and lose it the way it is because that's really human nature.
They believe a lie, they believe the truth.
Right. And the more horrible, the quicker they are to believe it. Because they want really, when people do that, they're trying to feel good about themselves.
Right.
That's really
so
what that usually is all about. They don't feel good about themselves, and they need somebody to be. They need to feel that somebody's beneath them.
Right.
And so, you know, you're going to always have that. It's when, you know, if it's somebody you don't know, then it's one thing because, you know, you don't know me, so you're just saying something. But when it's somebody you know and they're doing that, it just makes it 10 times worse. Because it makes
exactly.
It makes some facts with lie. It makes some fact with exaggeration. To make it seem worse than whatever it really was or if it ever really was.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, but you got to know that person or persons, and they're not in a good place themselves. That's why they do that. They need to feel like there's somebody worse than them, or they want to sway people to their side because they look at it as a competition. So let me say this about her so people will think this and they'll be on my side. And that's really what that spirit is all about. Because then when the people really get to know them, they find out, well, wait a minute. You said all this stuff, but you're this way? So and unfortunately, 9 times out of 10, the other people don't come back and say, I'm sorry. I believe what he told me, but I found out it wasn't true. And however they treated you and everything else, they don't ever come back and apologize for that stuff. So you have to take it with a grain of salt, Sister Rhea. Because if not, it will eat you alive.
I know.
Yeah, it will eat you alive. You have to take it with a grain of salt. If you know it's not true, then you just have to walk in that.
That's right. Let it go. You know what you are, right?
Yeah, you got some, because you got some vicious people in this world.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so you have to take it with a grain of salt. I've had some things said about me. I don't even worry about it.
Me either. I just thank the Father that somebody thought up enough for me to say so.
Amen.
I don't let none of that bother me. Never did. Because I never cared what people said.
If you don't matter to me, I don't care. And I understand when it's a person that you have feelings for and they do that, it's hard to just let it go. But then when you know that they're in their feelings and they are hateful, then he also tells you, if a person really loved me, could they ever really do that to me?
Nope.
If they truly love me. So if you love somebody, I mean, if you really love somebody, it is hard to make yourself go to the place, well, you might think about doing something, you say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I care about them. I'm mad at them. Maybe I only want to be with them, but I don't want to see that come to them. I don't want it to come to this. But when you really didn't ever, the relationship wasn't about that for you, it was about something else, it's easy for you to go there. Because it don't mean nothing. The only thing they want to do is hurt. And it's not because they're hurt. But they were probably the one perpetrating to begin with, doing the hurting. But when it's done to them, then, they're all super mad.
Right. And then something else, Brother Miles? When you don't react to things like that, that irritates the person that put it out there.
Right. I didn't know.
See, that's what they did it for, to get to you.
Right. And I just, when I run into that, I'm not going to entertain it.
Nope.
I'm not going to entertain it. So, see ya. We don't want to be you.
That's right.
Mm-mm. Because, you should never let somebody affect you that way to where, this stuff will make you sick.
It will drive you crazy.
Right, drive you crazy, have you emotionally off balance, then it'll affect your body. You ain't sleeping, you ain't eating. You know, you always got these ill feelings whenever you hear them or think about them. And the one who's being, that's why I say, you know, you forgive, but you then you have to either love them or not love them from a distance. Because the scripture don't say that you have to take them back. The scripture don't say you just got to be willing to suffer whatever the consequences are. And a lot of times that's what people don't want to do. If it means I got to be alone, I don't want to be alone. And so, you know, let me try to find a way to make this work. But it takes two to tango, to really tango. And if you got a manipulator, you got a player, you got somebody that, you know, this thing is a game. It's not real. People's feelings aren't real. And there are people in the world like that. Where your feelings ain't real to them. So they can say things and do things, and, you know, you might think that they really have an understanding, but they really don't. Because you ever see those movies where they say the child has no emotions?
Yep.
And they can do something, but they just really don't affect them?
Yep.
They have no remorse?
No remorse.
There are a lot of adults in the world that way.
I watched this movie about this 9-year-old serial killer. He had no emotions. None.
So he could do things and it just didn't affect him. Yeah, so you know, and it's hard when you get involved that way.
Yeah.
And when you know, when you've just been fooled. It seemed real, but then how could this person be this way? And the truth of the matter is we don't really want to believe it because we don't really want to believe that we got fooled that way. But sometimes you just have to face facts, and sometimes you have to say, I'm going to believe what's right here in front of my eyes. And no matter how I thought you were, this is who you really are. Because remember, from the very beginning, most relationships start. You are pretending to be what the other person wants you to be. And they're pretending to be what you want them to be. But if it ain't really you, it's pretending. Or are you becoming? But some people aren't able to become, so they'll put on a front. But if you know, if you weren't a real loving person ever, but you know people want love, then you learn to pretend. You learn to put on a face that's going to give them what they want. But then there's going to come a time where you don't want to pretend no more. And that's where you see the real person. So those rumors, Sister Rhea, those stories, all I'm going to say to you is this. If you know they're not true, don't worry about them, because you can't worry about what everybody thinks about you.
Right. But everybody ain't going to like you, don't they?
Right.
Don't work like that.
You can't please everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be true to somebody, be true to who?
The Father.
Yeah,
to the
and
Father
yourself.
And myself.
Right.
Yeah. And yourself.
And yourself. Be true to thyself. So, if you know, somebody accuses you of something, you know you didn't do it, why would you ever take that on?
Right.
Why would you ever consume that and put it into your spirit? And you have to learn not to care what people think, what everybody thinks at least. You know, we should be able to trust some people, and everybody needs somebody. So I'm not saying that you don't. I'm saying, but, you know, you can't be worried about what Mr. and Mrs. Jones think. They're not putting food on your table, clothes on your back, a roof over your head. not paying any of your bills. So why would you really, really care unless they mean something to you?
Right.
Because people love rumor mill. And we know this certain person loves spreading rumors. Knowing that they ain't true. Knowing that there ain't no way that whatever they were saying ever happened. But they still gonna say it. Because they don't care. And they just want people, they just want people to believe them or be on their side.
Right.
It's important to them. And if it's meant for a person to know who you really are, then that opportunity will come up and they'll see whether it's really you or not. And they might, you know, they might come with some preconceived notions because they believe what was said. But if it's not you and they're not going to see that behavior, then they'll be like,
"That ain't so.
I know what I heard, but I don't see it. I don't even feel that. You know, I'm not getting no sense of that." That's what they'll say. Now, if they just about mess and they want to be about mess, then that's what they want to believe. Ain't nothing you can say or do to convince them anyway. So you don't worry about it. And don't let it upset you and don't let it eat you alive. Because that's what it will do. It's like a cancer.
And the sad part about it is that these people go to class, you know, and they're spreading lies. And then the bad stuff keeps happening to them, and you think that they would stop. You know, why are you keeping the laws, statutes, and commandments? Why are you keeping the feast days? Why? What is the point?
Are they?
Why are you saying the Lord's Prayer? What's the point? And you're sitting here spreading lies and rumors,
really,
and you're being a hateful bird.
Yeah, are they really keeping it?
Right.
They think they are.
Because I find it hard to believe that they could really be keeping it. Remember,
well,
the scripture
are they playing
say,
games?
Any worship with their lips, but their heart is what?
Far from me.
Far from
them.
Right. So they are a Hebrew, and what I'm going to say, I'm going to say an Israelite in name only. In name only, but the character of a Hebrew or a Jew, according to the scriptures, they don't have it. That's been our problem all along, because this, you know, we are supposed to have a certain character, holy.
Nah.
And, you know, a lot of people don't want to be holy, but they want to be a Hebrew Israelite.
Right.
They don't want to be sanctified, but they want to be a Hebrew Israelite. They don't want to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments, but they want to claim that they're a Hebrew Israelite. I know a lot of brothers like that. You know, they say one thing, but then when you actually get to know them, their personal life, they're not keeping none of this stuff. Only in face value only. Privately, they don't do it. And that's sad.
It is sad.
But there's a lot of people that way. So you say, why be a Hebrew Israelite? Why keep the statutes, laws, and commandments? You really have to ask yourself, are they really doing that? Or are they just fronting? Because if you're really doing it, there's no way you could be like that. I believe it's impossible because it goes against the word of the Most High.
That's right.
So how could they possibly be doing it? So don't, you know, consider the source, okay? And leave it at that. And anybody that judges you that don't know you, You just tell them, you don't know me. You know what you heard about me, but you don't know me. You know, so you cannot put yourself in a place where people are going to always have rumors. And whether something is going on or not, people are going to always assume the worst because that's what they want to assume. Because that's within them to do.
Then everybody ain't gonna like you no one.
Right. You know, if you're looking for everybody to like you, then you have a sad life. A very sad life.
No, I just don't like when people know that they're lying, and because I don't know. I know we all have our qualms. I know none of us are perfect. I know that. But I don't go out here trying to defame people, try to lie on them, hurt them on purpose. I don't do those things, especially if I say I serve the true and living God. And that's just, I understand everybody's not going to like everybody. I understand that. It's just every now and then it hurts a little bit. I can't even lie that you actually go and keep the law, statutes, and commandments and the word of God, and you have so much hate in your heart, and you're just defaming people, lying, sneering, slandering them, making up stories, telling half-truths. It's just ridiculous, and it's getting worse out here. And I know in the scriptures it said men are going to be lovers of themselves more than God, and I'm just starting to see it. I really am.
It says the love of many is going to do what?
Wax cold.
Wax cold. That's why, you know, you got to know that people who you're dealing with, you got to know that they're real. You got to know, you got to look at what they, like I told you before, I don't necessarily go by what a person say. I go by what they do.
Right.
Because people can say anything.
Right.
But let me see how you are in different circumstances. Let me see what you actually do. That's going to speak to your character. That's going to tell who you really are. And when you ain't thinking about, what did I tell Brother Miles? When you ain't thinking about that, I said this, so I got to keep this front up. And you don't think you're
right.
Being looked at. So that's. Like I said, people say a lot of things, and I give people the benefit of the doubt, but I'm still looking. You know, I'm not blind. My personality is I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt until you give me a reason not to. I'm not going to start you off in a behind the power curve. I can't trust you or anything like that. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt until you give me a reason not to. That way you can't say that I prejudged you, can't say that, you know, I wasn't fair, because these are all your own actions. And, you know, when I was single in the world, I went into relationships that way. So I would tell you, hey, I'm not telling you about my past relationship, and I want to know about yours.
Right.
We'll start off with a clean slate. And if there's something, you know, if you're hurting, that's a whole other thing. And I can deal with that from that level. This hurts you, and you're really hurting, and you can't heal from it. Then, yeah, I'm empathetic enough that I can help you heal and not hold it against you. But for the most part, I don't want to know your past relationships because they're past, and more than likely there's baggage because they're past. Most relationships don't end up amicably. You know, why'd y'all break up? And here's the problem. So that is, you know, and you still holding on to it or whatever. So, no, I don't know what y'all, don't want to know what y'all did. We'll make our own memories. Because I'm not that person. So if you're trying to replace them, then you got the wrong person. And if I'm trying to replace who I was just with or somebody that I knew in the past, because this was ideal, and I don't know why we broke up, and I'm trying to look to replace that, I have not gotten over that. How am I going to enter into something with you? Trying to hold you to that standard rather than building that standard with you. And it's not easy for people to do, but I mean, that's how I have governed and lived my life. So I don't try to, you know, unless you bring up the past, I ain't trying to be there. Like I said, I got divorced from my first wife, and I have talked to her absolutely zero times in 30 years, 30 plus years. Because when it's over, it's over.
Oh, wrap.
You know, and maybe if we had kids, you know, maybe we might still have, probably would have still had contact, but, you know, it would just be about the kids. I would never be one to go down memory lane talking about what we had, because what we had, I'm not going to give up on it until it's over. But when it's over, it's over.
Yep.
And, you know, I can't go back and be trying to rekindle something. If we didn't fix it the first time, or if we didn't fix it after all that time, more than likely we ain't going to be able to fix it this time. And if you've been with somebody else and I've been with somebody else, then that's always going to be an issue. So I know why the Most High says certain things. Don't do that. Because they only introduce, you know, problems. It's a lot of things people say they can forget and forgive, they can't. They'll say it, but it's always there, lurking in the back. And as soon as something comes up that looks similar, they're going to bring it up. Well, I thought you... I don't care. Okay? So, yeah, don't worry about what those people say. Don't worry, you know, if you know that they're being vicious and malicious and they're spreading lies, then you just have to, first of all, forgive them. Okay, and the reason I say that is, if you don't forgive them, all that anger, all that hurt, all that pain, who's the one feeling it? You think they are? You feeling it by yourself. Because you've given it power. You've given what they're saying power over you. So you're the one mad. You're the one upset. You're the one sick. You're the one crying. You're the one going to be losing weight. You're the one going to be angry. Because you've given them power over you. But forgiveness takes that away. Forgiveness says, I know what you did. And I'm not going to give you power over me like that. So I'm going to forgive you so it doesn't be eating at me. Trust me, that'll eat at them more than if they know that you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
If they know that you're hurt. Because that's what they intended.
Yeah.
So believe that. And I know initially it's hard to do. But if you do it, you'll have peace of mind. You won't be upset. You won't be, you know, running around and not able to function. You won't carry all that crap into if the Most High allows you to be in another relationship. Because this is what happens. We hold on to the stuff and then we get into another relationship and we bring that with us. And the first time the person says or does something that even looks remotely like what we went through, red flags go up. And it could be totally innocent. But it looked like that. It felt like that. Because we weren't over it. And we allowed it to have power over us. So you know, you yourself know, what this person is about. It can't surprise you. And it shouldn't surprise you that there's some people that believe it. There are some people that want to believe it. They don't care whether it's true or not. They just want to believe it. Why? You know, I knew Sister Rhea wasn't that nice. I knew she was putting on a front. I knew she was pretending. They want to believe what they want to believe. So you shouldn't let that bother you. You can't let it bother you, or, as I said, it will eat you alive. Amen, my sister?
Amen.
All right. Yes. Sorry about that. I got some heck of a text. I'll just put it that way. But I just had to delete them. And keep it moving. And I consider the source. Let's consider the source.
Yeah, and another thing about texting, people are foolish. They should never text because if somebody wants to run somebody's phone, they'll see all the text messages, and that's a witness against them.
Right. You know, but we have foolish people living in a foolish time. People living their lives, literally living their lives where? On Facebook.
Yes,
sir.
Social media.
Wherever they go.
Social media.
And that stuff never goes away. I don't care what you say you deleted, it's not gone. It's not gone. It's warehoused. So if you said something stupid or you said something that you shouldn't have said, and you put it in text, you put it out there on social media, it is there forever. Archived. And
in
you know,
the
they
cloud.
Got people that do data mining. You go for a job, you go for the right job, they'll run a serious background check on you, even on your social media. Even usernames and stuff that you didn't tell nobody you had. You got this secret life. So I'm this person up under this name, and I'm this person up under this name. Because people do that. I'm this good person up under this name, and up under this name, I'm this bad person. This is my evil twin. But all this stuff can be found and be linked to you. So you got people just doing foolish stuff. And, you know, wonder why they don't get certain jobs or... you know, we just don't consider because we got this need for attention. We got this need for people to know something about us. I just got to be known. I want to be somebody. I want to appear to be a certain way to, you know, to people. And that's they bank on that with social media. So I feel sorry for a lot of people out there because they've been out there ever since it started. And everything they've ever written, ever posted, ever said, whoever befriended them, all of that stuff is tied together. That's how they use that stuff to identify terrorists. So even who you associate with, who you befriend, you may not be doing what they're doing, but you befriended them. And now you become a person of, you know, a suspect, a person of interest. Because why did you befriend them? You got the same likes they got? Got the same interest they got? Are you doing the same thing they're doing? So it's crazy. And people just, you know, they can be anybody they want to online. But then you meet them real life. They're nowhere near their online personality. You know, so yeah, have to be careful. But it is a fact that too many of us are living out there. You know, it's because so many people are out there, then it has certain uses and certain values. But you better strictly be using it for what you really want to use it for. So, you know, a lot of those brothers don't realize, you know, that they're doing one thing, and then on another screen they're surfing porn. All that stuff is in your history. I've been on many of pastors' computers when I was doing computers like that. You know, they get a virus or they get whatever, and, you know, my computer needs to be cleaned up, and I never say anything to them. But I see stuff that I know. I'm like, dude, this didn't just pop up on your machine. You went here. And you're doing this. But I never say anything to them. Not my business to tell on them. Not my business to, you know, confront them. Not my business to say, oh, you a pastor, and why are you doing this? Because you know they ain't going to do the turn around and lie. How do you find that? Everything, everywhere you go, every site you go to, every ad that plays, the pictures are stored on your computer. Every website you go to, the pictures are stored on your computer. So that it can bring up the site faster next time. You don't have to download all that stuff. It's already on your computer. It just pops it up. So, you know, people, I know for a fact, a lot of people lead double lives. And I don't ever be wanting to look at their computer because it'll tell on them. But that's what I used to do for a living. Why you got all those viruses? Because you went to this site. And, you know, sometimes it can be innocent. Sometimes you can search for the wrong thing, and this is what came up. And it wasn't your intention. It happens. But, you know, when you start seeing stuff over and over and over again, that ain't by accident. So, yeah. It's the world we live in. And if you are... you know, if you're part of that, if you're doing that, you know, if you got, if you grew up with those cravings because it was said that it was okay, or you were interested that way, then yeah, it's if you still got the same computer, it's on your computer. And not only that, those companies are able to read that stuff. That, you know, you like, I've been looking for all this stuff, you know, the Tillers and the Bobcats and everything I've been looking for. Guess what kind of ads start popping up on my computer? Everything I've been looking for. When I bought the microscope, all of a sudden microscope ads showing up everywhere.
Huh.
You know, I start looking at Tillers, then all of a sudden Tiller ads are showing up on every web page I go to. Every time I search, here's an ad for a Tiller. I'm not even searching for a Tiller right now. Or I might be playing spades. And on the Spades page, on the like the MSN Spades page, they show ads. I was just looking at, you know, this, and then all of a sudden here these ads are on their page because they're reading my computer. So, you know, it is the way it is, and they want to know everything that you're doing. And then they want to cater to that. And everything that you see, that's why you rarely hear me bring up news from the internet. Every once in a while. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's full of crap? Yep.
Not only that, but there's another reason. Do you know that they would tailor your news to what you like to hear?
So you go search
for this, and you're searching for that. They have algorithms that figure out that this is what you like, and that's all you'll see. So that's why you can't tell a Trump supporter anything about Trump bad, because they don't get bad news about Trump. But if you don't like Trump, you don't get no good news about him either. It's tailored to what you want to hear and see. So if you use it all the time, you will think that this is the way, this is all that's going on, but it's not. It's what they have figured out that you want to see. So that's all you see. So everything becomes one-sided. And that's a fact. So you go search for this, and you go search for that. Pay attention. Everything that comes up, if you go to news, that is the type of news that will come up. And that's the only type of news that will come up with your viewpoints. So you have to be very careful. If they know what you're shopping for and they can put those up there, know that they're controlling everything. So they're going to show you what news you like. If you like shopping at these stores, they're going to only show you those stores. Because they're tailoring everything to the individual. So be careful what you read on the internet and what you believe. Be careful that you're not getting, just the news the way you want to hear it. Because, yeah. About 10 minutes wide. Okay. Yeah, be careful that you're not getting the news and stuff only the way you want to hear it. Because they gear everything, that's the way it's designed today. So even two people that have similar beliefs, they won't get the same articles, but they'll be tailored to them. You know, none of us believe everything exactly the same way. So you might search for something a little bit different way, and now that's tailored to you that way. And you're not seeing the same articles that even your best friend is seeing, and y'all be talking about the stuff. They seeing something different. All right, so let's do this, because I'm being paged by my better half.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. I make a motion that we call this meeting. We adjourn this meeting. All in favor?
I second it, and I.
All right. Amen. Any nays? The ayes have it. All right, let us bow our heads. Father, yeah, we thank you today. We thank you for fellowship. We thank you for like minds. Father, we thank you for giving us the desire to serve and worship you. We thank you for allowing us to desire truth. Father, give those who are going through, give them peace of mind. Give them the peace that only you can bring. Let them rest in you. Let them understand that you can't worry about what everybody says, and you can't worry about when people do malicious and vindictive things.
Or curse you to death. Say, I wish you'd
or
die.
Curse you to death.
You're going to die if you don't do this. You're going to die if you don't do that.
Yeah. Just believe that the Most High has you. So what they're speaking is really speaking against themselves.
I know, that's the sad thing. They really think they're not speaking against themselves. They really believe the Father is with them.
We know, you know, yeah. We know that the Most High is not, he doesn't deal with certain things. And so all we got to do is test the spirit. If the person can lie, is that of the Most High?
Nope.
That
not,
by itself
not
is enough to tell you that that ain't the Most High.
Not at all.
Everything else is just showing what other spirits are in them. They got a lying spirit. The Most High detests a lying spirit. It says no liar will enter into the kingdom. So how can they be of him? How can they know the Father? They'll say, oh, I'm like that spirit that came down and I was a lying spirit in the mouth of this prophet or this people. Okay. Let's see it proved out. But you got to know. You got to know who you serve and you got to be in tune to his spirit. He'll testify of himself. And I can tell you for sure. The spirit of the Father is not in that person. It is just evil and wickedness, vindictiveness, a foul spirit. That's why you hear the language coming out of their mouths the way you do. It's just a foul spirit. Those spirits don't come from the Father. So rest in that. And don't let it have the effect that it's having over you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen. And amen.
Amen and amen. Amen.
All right. So we don't want to give access to those spirits. We don't want to entertain them. We don't want to allow them to affect us. Just give it to the Father and believe that he will handle it and let him handle it. And it may not come as fast as you might want it to come, but it will come. Because what the Most High does is this. The Most High will allow you to condemn yourself. And then he will judge you accordingly. And this is what we, still a lot of people don't understand about him. He will allow you to condemn yourself. So if he made a space for that person to repent and they don't repent, then they just become that thing. And he uses that to judge them. That's how come he hardened Pharaoh's heart, because he wanted to do what with him? Judge him. So I'm going to harden your heart. And I'm going to make you, you know, say that you'll let the people go and then turn around and lie about it and don't do it. I'm going to do those things to you because I've already determined that you are wicked. And you may not want that for the person. But you know what? You got to let the Most High have his way. Let him have his way. Let his will be done, no matter what. All right, with that being said, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, prayerfully tomorrow evening, remember, I love you. I do. I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Keep your eyes focused on him, and you cannot go wrong. Shalom, family.
Shalom, bro.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Shalom.
All right. Roll the theme music.
Without you, there's no